Welcome to The Spotter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the everyday challenges facing today's ministry leaders. It is necessary to stay close to someone who will challenge you to grow, do more, reach higher, and dream bigger. You should never allow yourself to be the strongest person in the room. You need a spotter. Here's your host, Jeff Wolf.
Hey everybody, thanks for joining me today on the podcast. I'm Jeff Wolf. I want to share with you something that's been on my heart for the last several weeks. I've been doing a lot of writing. If you've been watching my podcast or watching me, following me online, you'll know that I've been writing, trying to finish up a new book. In fact, I finished writing it just the other day. It is now in the publishing process and it'll be released soon. But when I write, sometimes I get stuck in a chapter and I just kind of forget there's a book being written and I begin preaching to myself, almost as if I'm writing a sermon outline or manuscript. And that happened just the other day when I was in a study of Hebrews 12 and I was writing about confidence. Confidence is something that I've always struggled with since I was in school. Not because I'm not good enough or because I wasn't talented or wasn't smart or any of those things. I always seemed to do well at everything I put my hand to, but confidence was a big thing for me, and I don't know why I struggled with it. Regardless of any affirmation that I received from my peers or my teachers or my superiors or my parents or any of those folks in my life that had influence, regardless of that affirmation, I always seemed to struggle with confidence. And here I am, just a couple weeks, I'll be 45 years old, and I still sometimes struggle with this confidence issue. Sometimes when things like that perpetuate through life, I kind of think the way Paul did when he said, I had a thorn in the flesh to buffet me. And I prayed three times that God would take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient. Perhaps that confidence question for me is one of those things that is a thorn in my side, and though God hasn't taken it away, he's always given me his grace that is sufficient to overcome it. And so I was writing about confidence the other day, and when I was thinking about confidence, I was drawn to Hebrews 12. The King James Version reads something like this, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run this race with patience that is set before us." So the writer of Hebrews paints this picture of a race, and it is an illustration to describe our journey here on earth. And there is confidence that is tied into the message of Hebrews 12. Have you ever lacked confidence? Of course you have. Have you ever compared yourself to someone else and became discouraged or disappointed in yourself because you are not performing or successful at the rate or at the level of the person you're comparing yourself to? Everybody's done this at some point in their lives, but the problem with comparison, comparing yourself to someone else, is that it is unfair and it is skewed because, listen to this now, we are on different laps of our race. Think about that for a moment. We're on different laps of our race. Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 3 in the NIV reads like this, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So when I read this passage, the question of confidence rises up in me, and I'll share with you why. First of all, I want to show you that the race, the journey, is already marked out for you. We are running this race with perseverance, this race called life, this race called our walk, our journey with Jesus. It's already marked out for you. You know, when you start a race, whether it's cross country or it's around a track, you don't just haphazardly and randomly run looking for the finish line. It's a marked out, predetermined course, and you know where the finish line is located. Now, I want you to take this to heart for a moment today, and I want you to understand that you are not just randomly and haphazardly wandering through life as if you were shot out of a cannon at the beginning of the race, the starting point, and somehow you are just searching for the finish line. No. That's not what God has given us. He has given us a marked out, predetermined path. We call it the will of God. Now, you may not know what the will of God is in your life at this stage in your journey, but that's why the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. If we will seek the face of God and seek out the will of God, He begins to reveal to us a predetermined course for our journey, for our race. It is the race that is marked out before us. Now, you may not know where the finish line is and what the marked out course is, but God knows. And if you will surrender and submit yourself to Him, He will, perhaps one step at a time, perhaps 5 or 10 steps at a time, He will begin revealing to you what His will is. It is a marked out course. If I can just interject personal illustration here, when I went to the police academy back when I was in my late 20s, I had to run a 1.5-mile course in 12 minutes and 25 seconds. I had to do 1.5 miles in 12 minutes and 25 seconds in order to graduate. During the first week of the academy, they took us out for a physical assessment. The DT instructor took us out and said, all right, we're going to run this track. We're going to see where you're at. We can see who can do this and who can't do this. So they took us out to a football field, and the running track was around the football field. And 1.5 miles is about 6.25 laps around that football field. And so we began to run. Two laps in, I collapsed from exhaustion. I couldn't do it. Well, I watched other people just zooming around that track and could make their required time on that very first run, that very first assessment. So what was the difference between those folks and me? The difference was I had not put in the work. I had not conditioned myself. I had not been preparing. I had not been running. I had not been building up my endurance at that point. And so I wasn't prepared. So to compare myself, listen to me now, to compare myself to other people who had been putting in the work and conditioning their body is unfair, because I was on a different lap of my race. For you to compare yourself to me or to someone else, or for me to compare myself to someone else, is unfair, because we are on different laps of our race. So I started working after that first run. I started working hard. I started getting on the treadmill, started running around the track in my free time. I started working on my endurance and my breathing and all those kinds of things that I was going to need in order to do what I had to do to graduate. I was bound and determined I was not going to fail. And so the day of the test came about 6 months later, after I had spent 6 months conditioning my body, 6 months doing it. I started by working on the distance, just increasing my distance every time I ran until I could actually finish 1.5 miles. And once I knew I could finish it, then I started working on the time to shave my time down, so that I knew before I got to the day of the test, I knew I could pass the test. The day of the test I went, it was cold outside. It was a December, snowy, cold morning in Northeast Ohio, but I knew I could do it. Regardless of sucking that cold air, that freezing air into my lungs, I knew I could do it. And I ran. I started running. I knew that I had 6 1/4 laps. I knew that I had about 2 minutes and 4 seconds for every one of those laps. And so I began to run. The first two went by very quickly. I could do it. I had done it before. Now, remember, the first time I did this, I couldn't get but 2 laps before I collapsed. But on that 3rd and 4th lap, I started to get tired. I started to get worried and weary. And that's when my confidence began to suffer. And I watched in those 3rd and 4th laps as other people who weren't able to do it began to collapse in the grass and stop because they just couldn't do it. And I pushed through my pain. I pushed through my shortness of breath, and I pushed through what I felt was the urge to stop, and I finished with 27 seconds to spare. I passed, but it was all about confidence. The confidence that I knew I could finish the race. I knew I could finish. The moral of the story is you can't compare yourself to someone else. Because the first time I tried that, I couldn't do it. But after I had worked for 6 months, I was able to accomplish what I could not accomplish before. God is conditioning you. God is building your confidence. Excuse me. God is causing your muscles to be strengthened. God is doing a work in you, and He's giving you strength and ability to do what you could not do before. Your confidence has been lifted. Now, I want you to understand that your life is just like that track for me. My life is just like that track. There are some times when I'm running and I have to push through the pain. See, the reason you can't compare yourself to somebody else on the track because they're on a separate lap of their race is because you don't know the pain that that person has been through to get where they are. You don't know the struggle that they've undergone, the confidence that they've had to gain in order to get where they are. You didn't see them when they were struggling just to get through. You didn't see them when they began to feel the pain and their confidence wavering. The difference between them and those who are laying in the grass and unable to finish right now is that they pushed through the pain, and when others were quitting, they kept running. And when their confidence began to wane, they pushed through and they were determined, and they knew the word of God said that he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. They knew that they had to keep on going. And I'm telling you, in this day that is testing our confidence, our confidence in ourselves, our confidence in our stability, our confidence in our Christianity. I'm going to tell you, there's some of us during this coronavirus and all of the things that have been coming along with it this year, 2020, there are some of us that have questioned our salvation. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but there are times during this year I have questioned whether or not the Lord even knew where I was. But I'm going to tell you something, we're running the race. And sometimes it's like 2020, we feel like we're running a track, running in circles. Have you ever felt like you were running in circles and not getting anything done? Honey, I'm telling you that if you feel like you're running in circles, don't quit. Keep on running. God is going to give you the finish line. Hallelujah. Your confidence. The scripture says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. My Lord, I'm talking to somebody today. This is what happens when I begin to write. I get caught up by a passage of scripture, and the Lord begins to speak, and I feel like I'm writing a sermon outline. I had to share this with you today. Another thing that you have to guard against when comparing yourself to others, which is what causes your confidence to fail, is you have to watch where you fix your eyes. Hebrews 12 said, put your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. Think about this now. You have to fix your eyes on Jesus, not other runners. The Apostle Paul said this about comparison. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. It's Galatians 6 and 4. Comparing myself to others robs me of small victories. Listen to that. Comparing myself to others robs me of small victories. The only person I should be comparing myself to is the man in the mirror. And keeping that truth before me and celebrating my small victories will keep me going when I get weary in the race. Say this with me. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm surely not where I used to be. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. You see, Jesus wants us to keep our eyes upon Him. And that's why the writer of Hebrews tells us what to do with our eyes when we run. Why is that? What happens when you run with your eyes on someone else's journey? You begin to run toward the wrong goal. I just spoke to somebody right there. When you compare yourself to others, you start working for the wrong goal. You start pressing for the wrong prize. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you watch other people, they're running for their goals. They're striving to reach their finish line. If you watch other people and compare yourself, your goals will be perverted from those things that God placed in your heart and in your spirit. You see, we're both running the same race, but maybe my goals are different than yours. My vision is different from yours. My anointing is different from yours. My calling is different from yours. So if you try to be like me, you'll start reaching for the wrong goal, and then you'll get frustrated when you can't reach it because it's not your goal. And you'll get frustrated when you can't cause my vision to come to pass because it's not your vision. That's the problem with putting your eyes upon other people. I've struggled with that in my confidence journey because sometimes I see others that are successful around me, and I begin to compare myself, and I say to myself, well, I need to do things that way, or I need to try that method, or I need to do this, or I need to go there. I need to be more like this person. And the more I compare myself to other people, the more I begin striving for the wrong goal. That'll keep you running in circles. When you can't reach the goal, you get more and more discouraged, and your confidence gets weaker and weaker. Stop running to reach other people's goals and look toward Jesus. Look toward Jesus. Capture your vision, your mission, your goals in your own heart and run toward those goals. Habakkuk said, get a vision and run with it. Don't run after somebody else's dreams and visions. Run after your dreams and visions. Here it is. Here it is. In the original Greek, in Hebrews 12, the word translated weary is kamno. It is also translated ready to collapse. When I compare myself to others, it affects my confidence, drives me to work toward the wrong goal, to be like the person who I'm comparing myself to. It leaves me overworked and ready to collapse. You may be feeling so weary that you are ready to collapse right now. But I want you to know that you have to press through that weariness. Put your eyes upon Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of God. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. I know it feels like you're running in circles. I know it feels like your confidence is waning. I know it feels like you're going around and around and not getting anything done. But I've come to remind you that God is your confidence. Hallelujah. As you're running this race, know that number one, God has a predetermined, marked out route for you. Find the will of God and walk in it. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Number two, don't stop running when you get weary and your confidence wanes. Number three, don't compare yourself to another runner. You're on a different lap of your race. This is good stuff. Number four, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stop looking at other goals, others' dreams and visions, and work toward your dreams and visions. I believe with all of my heart that the people of God are experiencing something that only our confidence in Jesus will bring us through. Your confidence in Jesus will get you through the crisis. Your confidence and your trust and faith in God will bring you through the difficulty. And God, listen to what I'm about to say, God wants you to have confidence in yourself. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Not confident because I'm able. Not confident because I'm willing. Not confident because I'm worthy. But confident because of whose I am. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Our confidence is in Jesus. Thanks for letting me share with you today. I pray that God will boost your confidence through His Word. It's a good word. It's a powerful word. It's a living word. And it's a word that will lift you up and encourage you in times of discouragement. Have a great week. I can't wait to talk to you again. Look for the book, jeffwolf.org. It's going to be released in paperback, hopefully in just a couple of weeks. 10 Reasons Why Pastors Are in Danger. Paul uses the word danger 8 times in 2 Corinthians 11 when he described his ministry journey. But the Bible says in Proverbs that he that sees danger is prudent and he looks for refuge. Amen. All right, have a great week. Thanks for joining me today. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. Subscribe to The Spotter on any major podcast provider. Visit us at jeffwolf.org for more information and follow Jeff Wolf on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. To receive a copy of Jeff's newest project, absolutely free, 10 Reasons Why Pastors Are in Danger, text the word RESTORED to 31996. Message and data rates may apply. Remember to join us next week. Be blessed.